last week, I picked a title from a song, right? Jesus, Take the Wheel. And this Sunday, I take a title from a book, Victory Over the Darkness. Victory Over the Darkness. And, it's from Neil T. Anderson. And the message is not from the book, but and I was listening to some of his teachings. And this message is inspired by some of those teachings. If you look at Psalm 23, I forgot to put the verse there, but it's verse 4. It says, and it's King James Version. I like the King James Version for Psalm 23. I think it's because I grew up with that passage from the King James Version. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Even though I'm in an intense spiritual battle, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Jesus, is with me. You are with me. Thou art with me. And the church said, amen. You know, Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4, he warns us about what's going on in this period. He says this, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, clearly says, it was clear to him, the Holy Spirit clearly says that in the later time, this is the time, in the later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. This is what Apostle Paul prophesied about the time that we are in right now, that people will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits, that's taught by demons. And this is happening today. More and more people are believing in reincarnation, astrology, psychics, witchcraft, presence of spirits in nature. And, we need to pray for the young people because, right in the time that we live in, the most popular books and movies are filled with witchcraft, mythology, paganism, demons, and evil. And there was a study that came out by the Barna Group that says that 3 out of 10 teenagers have played with Ouija boards. And some of you, I play with Ouija board. What's wrong with Ouija board? What's wrong with Ouija board is this, that it's a false guidance. It's a false guidance. And it's, what I mean is, okay, if you play around with those things, it's an entry point to something in your life that will potentially control you. Okay? For example, astrology. Astrology is very, astrology, I just wanted to turn that off. I could control it with my phone. astrology, Christians, what they will say about astrology is this, I don't really believe in it. I read it because it's fun. Right? It's just fun. I don't really believe in it, but it's fun. But this is what will happen to you. You read it one morning, and the astrology says, you need to be aware of strangers today. Okay? You need to be beware of strangers today. And then that day, what happened? You meet a stranger, and how do you respond? You're more careful. Okay? You are more suspicious of that stranger. What just happened? Astrology just influenced you. Astrology is guiding you. Astrology has become a false guidance. Young was telling me, because he's a teacher in high school, and he's saying more and more teens are on antidepressant, and not just antidepressant, but antipsychotic drugs, And he was telling me some of his students are hearing voices. They're hearing voices. A voice of hopelessness, depression, foul thoughts, voices that tells them to kill themselves, voices that says to kill others. Automatic diagnosis is the paranoid schizophrenia. And how do we treat that? We give medication to stop those voices. And it is important to seek professional help, right? Medical help. But the secular, the world is clueless about the spiritual realm. They're clueless about the spiritual realm. They understand the physical, but not the spiritual realm. I believe with the rise of occult in the young people, I believe young people are facing a great spiritual battle. Right? Our children are being spiritually attacked, and that was the conviction that I got in the upper room a couple Wednesdays ago, that the strong man of this nation, one of the strong men, demonic power, is trying to steal our children's a purpose and life. It's trying to destroy them. Why would demonic focus on our children, on young kids, you know? Because, you know, Heejong and I, we counsel a lot of adults, you know, many, many adults. And most of the issue have come when they were young. Okay? Most of the issues. The demonic will attack our children because it is the best time to establish a stronghold that will last a lifetime when they're children. Right? You know, our children are under tremendous spiritual attack, you know, and what I realized, just telling them, you know, just telling them not to do it doesn't work. Stay off the phone. Stay off the phone. Don't read that. Be careful of that. And it doesn't work. And, you know, it might be working because, you know, your child is in kindergarten or first or sixth. Wait till they get to junior high. Wait till they get to high school. Yeah. And so teaching is not enough as parents. Because teaching is not enough. With our children, with our child, we need to build a relationship with our children. We need to love them. We have to be humble. Right? We need God's wisdom. And we have to do our best to be a model. And we need to spend time with them. Right? But they're also going under tremendous spiritual battle. We need to pray for them. Okay. We need to pray for the children. We need to pray for your child. We need to pray for the young people of this nation. See, the spiritual battle's internal. Okay. The reason we get addicted is not because of the drug cartels. It's not just because of an unethical pharmaceutical company. It's people get, you know, fall into addiction because of there's no mental peace. Okay? There's no mental peace. And we get addicted to drugs and alcohol to numb that internal chaos, this chaos that's inside. And what drugs and alcohol do is it gives us a temporary peace, a temporary numbing. But the problem is when you wake up from the high, when you wake up from being drunk, what happens? The things are a lot worse. Okay, things are a lot worse. You know, people are having terrible nightmares. There's irrational fears. You know, people are hearing crazy voices. There's foul thoughts, voices of murder, voices to kill themselves. There's mind-controlling voices. Now, are those things happening just because of chemical imbalance? You know, I was thinking about this. Is it just because of chemical imbalance? I say, yes, some. I believe there's some chemical imbalance. But to say all, I don't agree with. I don't agree with. You can't say all evil voices are due to chemical imbalance. Because think about hormones. That's in you. That's the neurotransmitter in your brain. Okay? The chemicals in your brain. In natural state, it does not have evil nature. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm trying to say. Your neurotransmitter, the different chemicals, different hormones in your body, okay, in your brain, it can't think. Okay? It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have a choice. And so I do believe medicine suppresses evil voices, but if the voice are not just chemical imbalance, but it's from evil presence, right? It's from evil presence, what do we do? If we just give medication, I think it just suppresses the voice. But if it's from evil presence, we as Christian need to cast out that presence. Okay? We need to cast out that presence. Spiritual battle happens in our heart. It's internal. Spiritual battle is not the outward manifestation. You know, we say spiritual battle is when people start to foam in their mouth, they're coughing uncontrollably, people speaking in different voices. No, spiritual battle primarily happens in your mind. Okay? It happens primarily in your mind. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, this is what he says. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's eternal. Paul says that what you see is temporary. What you don't see is eternal, meaning what you don't see is more important than what you see. It's more important. So the title is Victory Over the Darkness, Victory Over the Darkness, and I have four basic points to have victory over the darkness. First two is, don't do this, okay, don't do this. And then next two point is do this, okay? And the first two point is don't fall into this too extreme when it comes to spiritual warfare. Number one, don't disbelieve in or disregard spiritual warfare. You know, Christians tend to act like it doesn't exist. Some churches, you know, that's what they teach. It does not exist. That there is no need, believe there is no place in the church for, you know, teaching on spiritual warfare or even have any deliverance ministry. Or believe it is only the charismatic, you know, that's involved in this kind of ministry. And, you know, the charismatic are weird. So don't do this, you know. But it's important to, I want to remind you that deliverance ministry was an important ministry in Jesus' ministry. Okay? Why? Because what it's showing is that Jesus is not just preaching the gospel, he's demonstrating the gospel when he's casting out demons. Mark chapter 1, Jesus casts out an evil spirit in a man who was in the synagogue. If it was modern day, right now, Jesus was casting out a demon in a man who's in the church. Who's in the church. So, what Jesus' ministry of casting out demon, to me, it is demonstrating the gospel because it demonstrates the work of God, demonstrates freedom, demonstrates the power of God, demonstrates deliverance, another word for deliverance, salvation. And, you know, and so, and this happened in the synagogue. Okay? And so as a believer, as a Christian, you will be spiritually attacked. Okay? You will be spiritually attacked. You will be influenced. You'll be lied to. You'll be discouraged. You'll be tempted by evil spirit. And the evil spirit will try to steal from you and will try to destroy the church because the church is under spiritual warfare. Right? Some theologian says, because God is in you, the demons, you don't have to do anything. They don't have to worry. No, the Bible says we need to be aware. Right? And because Jesus is in you, the devil will attack you. Okay? Will attack you. But the good news, they have some truth. Jesus cast out demon. And the good news is we have Jesus' authority. And I think that's, you know, what they need to tell us. Jesus is in you. Because Jesus is in you, you have this authority to defeat demonic powers. Okay? To defeat demonic powers. Okay? Number two is don't. That's the other extreme that a lot of Christians fall into. They put excessive focus on the demonic. They put excessive focus on the demonic. The Bible tells us to be alert about spiritual warfare, but it doesn't say focus on demons. Okay? Don't focus on demons. People who become very diligent concerning spiritual battle, they're not just alert about it. I mean, after a while, what happens is, they see demons everywhere. That's what happens. They see demons everywhere. Everything becomes demonic. And here's the problem for a Christian when you fall into that trap. Okay, the demons will shoot, arrows at you, our spiritual enemy. But not just one arrow, he shoots hundreds of arrows at you. Okay? What are you going to do? Try to knock out every arrow, I love it. It's like the illustrations, you're floating in the water, there's corks, there's hundreds of corks that's just popping up around you. You think spiritual warfare, this is what God calls us to do, just push down all the corks, push it down. What's going to happen? It's going to pop back up, say push it down. When I was in Africa, in Kenya, I was in this village, and I was sleeping in this house. They had no mosquito net. And the reason I have a phobia of mosquitoes is because of that night. That night. All night, mosquitoes attacked me. All night. All night, I didn't sleep. All night, I had this flashlight because they didn't have electricity. I had this flashlight, checking, just trying, and then staying quiet, and then I would hear, just looking at the wall, see if there's any mosquito in the wall, just trying to kill it. All night. What happened? In the morning, I was so tired. So weary, so discouraged, so fearful of mosquitoes. After that, I developed a phobia of mosquitoes. Another phobia I have is fleas because I was attacked. Anyway, there's another story in Nepal. Another story. So we need to be alert to spiritual battle, but that doesn't mean focus on the devil. We need to focus as Christian on Jesus when we're in the midst of spiritual battle. For example, if you're in Nepal, what are you going to do? Focus on the demonic? Because demonic is everywhere. In Nepal, it's a Hindu country. Because it's a Hindu country, they believe in 100,000. Well, the Nepalis say there's a million gods that they believe in. Can you believe this? Million gods, false gods, and it's everywhere. I go to visit a home, there's an altar, idols everywhere. I go into a taxi, there's an idol, just hanging from the mirrors, and there's a picture of three different idols. What are you supposed to do? Just stay home. Okay? There's demonic out there, there's too many demons, just stay home and, No. You can't do that. Psalm says, in order to do deliverance, you gotta really know the demon. You gotta know their name. Okay? You gotta know their name. Some people say, I gotta be careful when I lay hands on people that I minister to because the demon could transfer to me. It could transfer to me. And that's really, I pray for hundreds of people. how do I know when it transferred? How do I know when it didn't transfer to me? Not that that doesn't happen, but, it's just so many things I have to be aware of. Psalm says, you got to know, the sins of the generation that went, like great, 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 great grandparents. I don't even know the name of my grandfather. What am I supposed to do? Right? You need to focus on Jesus. You need to Man, when I say focus on Jesus, I mean you put your identity in Christ. Who you are in Jesus. We fight the spiritual battle by putting our identity in Christ. Right? The demonic don't have power to move you if your identity is in Jesus. In Christ, the demons have no power over us. The reason we get anxious is we're kind of double-minded. Okay? We got, you know, the reason we go back and forth. You know, why do we get anxious? Because we, you know, there's two things that we keep going back and forth to. You know, we pay attention to evil spirit, then we pay attention to Holy Spirit, and we go back and forth. You know, yesterday we had a seminar, parent seminar. It was a blessing, right? It was a parent. And the speaker focused on identity in Christ. But this is what we do as parents. This is the conviction that I got as parents. We know our identity has to be in Christ, but when we parent our children, but there's also fear, there's also performance, there's also guilt, there's also anger. We overcompensate, you know, in parenting our children because of our own lack as kids when we grew up. There's perfectionism, there's control, and identity in Christ. It doesn't work then. It won't work. You know, fear and at the same time identity. I'm unconditionally loved, but I'm scared. It just doesn't work. Huh? Yeah. I'm created in God's image, but there's guilt. I have the robe of righteousness, but I have shame. I am forgiven. You know, I'm sons and daughters of God. I have the Holy Spirit power, but that demon is, you focus on that demon. It doesn't work. Okay? You can't have both. If you keep going back to both, you'll get stressed. You get anxious. Okay? You gotta reject the old, the lies, the shame, the fear. Right? And embrace the work of Jesus on the cross for you. Okay? So that's the next point. Do's, right? I had two don'ts. This is what we do. Turn from darkness and turn to Jesus. Turn from darkness and turn to Jesus. Say that, let's say that together. One, two, three. Okay. The word for that is called repentance. Okay? The word for that is called repentance. And biblical repentance is not just feeling bad. It's not just confession. Repentance is turning around. Turning around. So as parent, you're leading your child, you're parenting your child with fear and performance and achievement, and you're going, no more. Unconditional love of God. I'm going to lead my child. Okay? You're just letting all those things go. Okay? Letting go of the old and turning to the new. You know, let go of the lie of the devil. The devil will lie to you and say, Jesus is not enough. Okay? Jesus is not enough. But you turn around and you embrace the truth. Jesus is more than enough. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Jesus is more than enough. And, you know, the early church, we can learn from the early church. Repentance, they took it very seriously. What they would do, right, they would face the West, and they will say, I renounce you, Satan. I renounce all your work. I renounce all your ways. And then what they would do, they will face the East, and they will make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Right, this is what the early church would do. I want us to do this. Okay, if you could stand and face back. Let's all stand together. Face the back of the church. Okay? And repeat after me. Okay? I renounce you, Satan. I renounce all your work. I renounce all your ways. Okay, now what I want you to do is under your breath, renounce the work of the devil. Okay? His lies, the addiction, the shame, the accusation, the condemnation, the bondage, the stronghold. Renounce it under your breath. The fear, renounce it. The temptation, renounce it. Whatever you're being spiritually attacked with, renounce it. The addiction, renounce it. The rejection. So, I renounce your rejection. I renounce all your works, all your ways. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Now, if you could turn around and face the cross, face the front, please repeat after me. I turn to you, Jesus. I make my profession of faith in you, Jesus. Jesus, remove every evil assignment, every evil voice, every evil thought, every evil lies. Jesus, remove all demonic power. I now ask you to establish a hedge of protection around me, over me, under me, and seal with your blood. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, the fourth point, because when you go home, okay, how do I know this? This happens to me all the time, okay? When you go home, the enemy will accuse you and attack you, okay? And so you need to know the final point. Clothe yourself in Christ's righteousness, okay? Clothe yourself in Christ's righteousness. Okay? Because again, you know, yeah, you renounce the devil, you turn to the Lord, you just repented. Okay? Now you need to clothe yourself in Christ's righteousness. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says this. Okay? Isaiah 61 verse 10. For he has clothed me with garment of salvation. And everybody in this church, you know, you have that garment, you're saved. You have eternal life. But it doesn't just say there. And you array me in a robe of his garment of salvation, and then he talks about the robe of his righteousness. Okay? Robe. So you know, and, you know, you all believe that you're saved, okay? You have the garment of salvation, but many Christians don't know how to put on the robe of righteousness. Huh? The robe of righteousness. What does it mean to put on the robe of righteousness? I think this is a clear picture of what it means to have the robe of righteousness. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. It's a teaching on marriage, and it's a command that God gives the husband. But the way it's illustrated is about how Jesus Christ loves the church. And what did Jesus Christ do for the church? It says, verse 25, husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Jesus made the church holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. You know, and the church is washed through the word of God. Okay? And then it says, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So, you know, Apostle Paul is thinking about marriage, but he goes, there is a great model of marriage. This is the best model you could think of marriage, and that's with Jesus and the church marriage. Okay? Jesus and you. And it says, Christ made you holy. Christ cleans you with the water of the Word of God. Church, because what Christ did on the cross. He died for you on the cross. It says, church, you're radiant, without stain, without wrinkle. Amen. You know, I'm 54, without wrinkle, you know. Okay. Without blemish, holy and blameless, meaning you are made righteous. Okay? You are made righteous. It doesn't matter how you feel when you go home. Okay? It doesn't matter, you know, something goes wrong, you get a flat tire. Okay? Your favorite football team loses today. Doesn't matter. Okay? But the enemy will come and accuse you. Okay? And you need to remember, you have the robe of righteousness. You are without stain, without wrinkle, no blemish. You in Christ, you are holy and blameless. There's no more room for guilt. There's no more room for shame. The devil can't accuse you. What he's doing is lying to you. He's bluffing you. You know, my daughters, you know, they all are. I don't know what happened. You know, they're scared of little ants. Little ants. So, a little insect. And so, when they see a little insect, they run out of their room. They run out of their room. And they, you know, they're doing homework or studying for a test. They'll see it. They just run out. Just, you know. I'm sorry, Kristen, for sharing this. So it was not just Kristen. Sage, you know, Trinity, and they all. And so what I'm trying to say is, okay, the reason something small like that could have that much power is you give it power. When I see an ant, that's it. That's it. Right? I know I'm more powerful than an ant. It can't scare me. Right? And so when you go home, you know that you have the robe of righteousness. You have Christ's authority, you have Christ's power, and he will still lie to you and try to accuse you. Don't listen to it. Don't listen. Reject it. Just go on with what God has called you to do. Move forward. Okay? Not only forgiveness, not only eternal life, you are covered with Christ's righteousness. So say that to you. You are covered with Christ's righteousness. Okay? So there's nothing that the enemy can accuse you of. Isn't that a good news? Amen. Let's worship.